second scripture reading comes from Luke, faithfulness with money. Jesus also said to his disciples, a certain rich man heard that his household manager was wasting his estate. He called the manager and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give me a report of your administration because you can no longer serve as my manager. The household manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is firing me as his manager? I'm not strong enough to dig and too proud to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I am removed from my management position, people will welcome me into their houses. One by one, the manager sent for each person who owed his manager owed his master money. He said to his first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 900 gallons of olive oil. The manager said to him, take your contract, sit down quickly, and write 450 gallons. Then the manager said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 1,000 bushels of wheat. He said, take the contract and write 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted cleverly. People who belong to this world are more clever in dealing with their peers than are people who belong to the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to make friends for yourself so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into the eternal house. Whoever is faithful with little is also faithful with much, and the one who is dishonest with little is also dishonest with much. If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you haven't been faithful with someone else's property, who will give you your own? No household servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Pharisees, who were money lovers, heard that all this and sneered at Jesus. He said to them, you are the one who justifies yourself before other people, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued by people is deeply offensive to God.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word that has been read to us today and spoken. May it fill our hearts that we are changed by it and guided to be closer to you in love. Amen. Our scripture passage today is a challenging one because no one can really claim to understand exactly what's going on. I can't claim that. And it was interesting this week as I was doing my research, all of the commentaries, the preachers in that as well said, we have no idea what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. And it's funny to admit that, but sometimes scripture gives us passages like this one and you're like, okay, what's going on? Why would Jesus encourage us to be dishonest, like the manager, right? Because aren't we taught to tell the truth, to be honest? Why is he saying to be like that manager who lied to achieve and have to look better in the eyes of his master, as well as those underneath him in his working position? But this passage also frightens us much because we don't like to hear the words together, God and money. In fact, there's a lot of scriptures where it seems Jesus is saying to the rich people that their challenge is because of their love for money. And again, we have that verse that everybody's very familiar with that we hear in scripture all the time. You can't serve two masters. It's either God or money. It can't be both. So we kind of shred away from that. We kind of fearful of these passages, especially because in our society and in our life, right, we need money. Money is how we function. That's how we buy the food we eat. That's how we buy the things that we need, the necessities of life. Money is an essential staple that all of us need to even live healthy here on this earth. And yet Jesus does not seem to say that that's the focus. He's not saying that you can't have money or that you can't be rich. He's really saying it's how you manage that money. It's what you do with it, because money is a tool used by God to share God's love in the world. And I don't think we often think about it enough, that it is a tool. It is a gift that we either have enough of or we don't have enough of, but that we use to shine light on one another, a gift that God has given to each of us. And what's happening in this passage is that all of the gifts, whether money or the gifts and talents God has given to you, they weren't being managed right by this manager. He was wasting away the estate of his master and not managing it correctly. And so he's going to lose his job. And he thinks, what can I do? Because I don't want to beg when I lose my job. And I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to take care of myself. So he goes and he forgives parts of the loans of those who owe his master money. For many of us, it seems like, well, then his master's going to lose a bunch of money. What he's actually forgiving is probably the interest rate. More than likely, the rich man was a Jewish person, and in the scripture, he would have known that in the Old Testament it says, do not charge interest when you give money to someone or loan money to someone, that you're not supposed to charge interest. But what's the habit, of course, to make extra money when you loan money out is to add interest rates to it. And so your amount that you originally owe gets a lot higher. What the dishonest manager was doing was he was forgiving their interest. So it looked like a huge amount difference. And by doing this, he not only looks good to those who he forgave a lot of the loan, he also looks good to his master, because now his master looks like a great person. He looks like he's following the rules of what he is supposed to be following in the scriptures. So although he was dishonest, his dishonesty and his cleverness made him friends instead of an enemy to those around him. And so Jesus is saying not to just be dishonest, but he's saying, be wise in how you manage your things and the gifts that God gives you. Not just money, but be wise in how you manage everyday activities in your life. Oftentimes we wake up and you know, you make decisions to get out of bed, to shower, to do whatever it is that you need to do for your day. And we think that they're minimal decisions. Oh, we do this day after day. We just have to do it. It's just a part of life. But that's not really the case, because God has given you even the small things in your life to manage well. Are you balancing everything out? Are you able to get things done that need to be done and yet still dedicate your life to God instead of just your work and your money? That's what makes this parable so challenging. It's challenging because we don't necessarily know how to manage well. None of us. We say we love God more than money, but yet we live in a society that we have to work. We have to earn money so that we can pay the bills, so we can put food on the table. And it's not that many of you want to say, oh, I love money more than God, but our lives become so hectic that we find that that's what we spend the majority of our days doing, is earning money and working, that sometimes God gets placed on the back burner. And Jesus is saying that shouldn't be the case. What you should be doing is saying, God, thank you for the small gifts that you give me every day, for this money, and now I'm going to use and manage everything that you have given me for your glory, God. I'm going to use the money, of course, to buy food to eat, but also I'm not going to waste it away. I'm going to use it wisely, manage it so that ultimately I can give and give to God, who is the creator and person who gives us everything that we have in our lives. And not only money, then, it's even the small activities you do, your talents, your gifts, having conversations with one another. If you manage it well, if you do all that you can at 100%, when God gives you more than that, more than what you think you can handle, it turns out that you really can handle it because you've had practice. That's what's happening here. If you manage the small things, then you have the ability and strength to manage the large things. Constantly in this job, I'm always frustrated with God, and I have these conversations. I'm like, God, I can't do this. Why did you call me? I cannot do this. And I always hear back from God saying, I wouldn't have placed you where I placed you if I didn't think you could do that job. That's the same for all of us. I would not have placed you there. I would not have given you those gifts. I would have not given you those challenges if I did not think you could handle them. That's what God tells us. And so when we are faithful in the small things that we are given, it builds in the strength so that when larger things go on in our lives, when larger things happen, you have the strength and the ability to manage them. There was a show on TV for a while called Back in the Game, and it was only on for a season. And what the show was, maybe you've seen it was pro athletes who made, of course, lots of money as athletes, and then they retire, and they didn't know how to handle that amount of money, and so they continued to try and spend the same amount of money that they were getting in their paycheck. And slowly they were going bankrupt and running into this really bad pit financially. So a financial advisor would come in and he would talk to them and teach them and guide them on how to manage their finances differently now that they don't have all that extra money. And if you think of it, a lot of the people that were on this show were NBA players. Who come from really rough situations in life. Many of them would come from ghettos, and by talent, by working hard, they were able to become these pro basketball players. But as their childhood growing up, they probably were not taught how to manage money. Actually, it was probably even hard to come by. They had days where they probably didn't have much food to eat, let alone to know what to do with excess money. So because they didn't know how to handle the small amount, when they were out on their own and they were getting these large amounts of money, they were spending it and not thinking about their future or how to spend it wisely. And they found themselves in this great pitfall. And it's very similar to the same thing. When they had a small amount and they didn't know how to handle it, then you can't expect to have a great amount and know how to handle that as well. They needed to be taught and shown. So to take care of the small things every single day that we have guides us and gives us strength and wisdom to be able to take care of the larger things that God gives to us. But not only that, the key in all of this that Jesus is saying is he's saying, love God above all else and use those gifts and those talents and those small everyday things that you do to be honoring and pleasing to God. That's what that verse, often taken out of context, is really saying. It's saying that it's not that we should hate wealth or hate money. It's that we are to love God above money, love God above all else, and use it as a tool, as a gift. And not just money, but your talents. All of us have talents, even if we don't want to admit them, that we aren't using. And instead of wasting it away, we are to manage it well and say, all right, God, you have given me this ability. And maybe I'm not that trained in it yet, or I'm afraid of it, or I don't know how to quite use it. Help me. Help me to use that talent. Help me to use that gift you have given me so that I can glorify your name and shine your light on the world around us. So maybe you're fortunate enough that you have extra money. So it's using that money for God. Maybe you don't. That's not the gift that you have. You're struggling just to pay the bills. But maybe you are a good public speaker. So you can find ways in which to share that, or you're a good teacher, or maybe you're not any of those things, but you really like to be in the background. You like to be the person that's just quietly working behind the scenes, cleaning or doing something like that. We all have individual gifts, and are we managing them well, or are we letting them waste away and not sharing them for God's glory and love? That's what Jesus is trying to get the disciples to understand. He's not saying it's wrong to have all of these good things. He's saying use them for God's glory. It is God who gives them to you. And when you manage them well, the small everyday task of your life, the small talents that you are given, then when you are challenged with something greater, you have the strength and the ability to do it, even if you don't think so. It's just like, as I said, I question God. I don't think I have the strength. And I'm told, yes, you do. You do have the strength. You have the gifts. Each day, practice them. Use them so that they grow and glorify the God who loves all of us. Let us pray. God, it is you who have given us gifts each day. And not only just gifts, but when we wake up, we breathe the air that you have blessed us with. Even the small things that we think are not that big of a deal, you say are lessons. Our guides to teach us to draw closer to you in love and how to love one another more. So we pray that you might help us to see our life that way, a life of following you, a life that is a gift, that should be managed well, that should be cared for, so that when you do give us greater challenges, we have the strength and the knowledge to know that we can follow you and that we can trust you, and that you have given us the ability to shine that light of your love upon others around us and in our community. Amen.